is a renowned evangelist all the way from California USA, from Jersey. He is a man of integrity. When I met him for the very first time and we are discussing, I came to understand that the church made him hear me. And for this reason, I saw the very need that he should impart to the leaders of our time. We have been to various countries. We have been to various countries as a missionary here in Africa. We have been to Kenya. We have been to Ghana. We have been to Togo. We have been to the Republic of Benin. And by the grace of God, we have been here on this year also in Nigeria. Here in Nigeria, this is not the first place we have ministered. We have ministered somewhere in Canada. We have also ministered somewhere in Africa. We have also ministered somewhere in Sudan here in Lagos. And by the grace of God Almighty, He is here in a table in fullness of life, your assembly. It is my humble pleasure to welcome as a member of our peace, to welcome Evangelist Mr. Kula from the United States of America. Thank you very much, God.
Thank you very much. And you can open in your Bibles in the book of 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2. I hope that you understand my accent. You have to listen very carefully. I will try to speak slowly, but as I forget, I do speed up. From the book of 2 Thessalonians in chapter number 2, I want to thank Pastor Philip for the invitation. My brother Victor here, is he traveled over here from Ojo as we were squeezed onto the motorbike. But we had a very stressful and eventful journey, as you know here in Lagos. So hard life here is not. And it's a hard time and a hard task in these end days to evangelize with this gospel. It's the hardest job in the history of the world is to evangelize the gospel of the grace of God. And that's my topic, is end time evangelism, as it was assigned by the pastor. And I immediately began to think of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And if you look down with me at the very last verse, I'm going to work through the whole chapter, but the end verse number 17 from 2 Thessalonians 2, is our subject, it's our message, encourage your heart and strengthen you. And he's talking about that's something that is that God will do. Only God can strengthen us to preach the gospel. Only God can strengthen us to persevere until the end. But He will do it. That's a fact. And in this text, I have three things. At the beginning is a warning. What comes next is encouragement. Verse number 13 and 15, and then what comes lastly is our hope, and it's our confidence in God. I hope that my tears don't carry me away. But if you see me weeping, it's because my heart is in my preacher. And I know I've only kept my God. But the first thing is a warning. And part of the gospel ministry in these last days is a warning to be aware of and to be careful of false prophets and false ministers. Let's pick it up in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 1 through 12, because everything is not okay in these end days. I wrote a little article, and I have a few copies of, and I posted it. It was banned from Facebook. I ended up in what they call Facebook jail. That's where you cannot comment, and they're on your back. But the article was talking about the distressing things I see here in Nigeria, all over the world. But as the pastor was saying, I've been in Nigeria for 1 year. And the reason I came here, my brothers and sisters, is the distressing things I saw. The lying signs and wonders and the false prophets and the money making in the ministry is abominable. But this is a sign of the last days. So you be careful, you be warned, you take heed unto the message of Scripture. If we stick to Scripture, we shall be safe if we get a hold of the gospel. If we waver off this for God. 2 Thessalonians 2, let's take a look at the warning, verse number 1 through 12. Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, He is going to come back. And our being gathered to Him, those of us that are in Christ, we're going to meet Him in the air. And we're going to come back and judge this world. We ask you, brothers, not to be easily upset in mind or troubled. You who believe the gospel, you still need to be warned. Because many who believe, they do fall away because they did not truly believe. Our brother Peter said, to whom shall we go? But Judas was gone already, even from the beginning. He was a devil, our Lord said. And so the brothers have to be warned to separate the wheat from the chaff. That's what perseverance does. It shows who's really in and who's not. Who can stick it out? Who can finish it? I used to play sports, as I'm sure that many of you here did. And there's a lot of people on the team at the beginning, but after you got through all of the training, it was not me and those left who fell off. Who's going to stick with the true God? Who's going to believe until the end? End time evangelism has end time troubles. Not to be easily upset in mind or troubled either by a spirit. Don't let a demon deceive you. Or by a message, or by a letter, no matter how much authority it pretends to have, as if it is from us. This is Paul saying, I'm an apostle, and I run with the apostle, and the other brethren I'm with are preaching to you the gospel. And Paul is saying unto us, don't be deceived. Don't let anybody trick you as if he's coming from us. As if he's coming with the authority of this book. There are no more apostles I have to listen to. But I have to listen to the Apostle Paul. And I want to hear what he has to say. And those that were like him and nobody else. I don't care how much authority he claims to have. I don't care what kind of a suit he's wearing. I don't care, Pastor, as to how eloquently he can speak. I don't care if he's from America. I'm not a false prophet because I'm where I'm from. I'm a false prophet because of what I said. And do if it's not in the Bible. Do you want to be warned, or do you only want to be encouraged? That's a sign that you're under a false prophet. If the only thing he tells you is encouraged. The Apostle Paul said, I'm warning you. I'm trying to scare you out of making a mistake. Just like when mama told you, boy, if you cross that street during traffic, I'll beat you. She was telling you to stay out of trouble, to teach you to look both ways. Be warned and be careful. Your soul is on the line. All is not well just because you and I have heard the Apostle Paul one, two times. They heard in his presence. They saw his mirror. They tasted his power of his word. But they're still being warned to be careful. Do you want to be careful? Or do you want to go to hell when you die?
This is serious business.
As if it's from us, alleging that the day of the Lord has come. It would seem so obvious to be able to break open this message and say it ain't happening, but deception is real. Don't let anyone, not me, not you, not anybody else, anywhere else, deceive you in any way. And I'll just fast forward a little bit. Listen for the gospel. As a pastor, I don't care how moral a man is. I don't care how upright he seems. I don't care how devoted unto his family. I'm listening for the gospel of God's grace, lest I be deceived. There's all kinds of good moral Muslims. I saw a man, I think it might have been, probably yesterday. It was a Muslim man, I believe, based upon his attire. And the attire of little kids around him. And this Muslim man was on the ground, humble, helping these children. And I passed by and I said, that is sincere love and sincere kindness. From a man that's not saved. I passed by and I said, if I was a woman, I would want a man like that. But he doesn't know the gospel.
So we have to be careful that the people coming to us with a Bible in their hand or underneath their shoulder know the gospel.
It's the gospel of God. It's the good news of God saving sinners who don't have any worth except what He gives you. It's not God coming down to save you because you are valuable. It's called the precious in His sight. That's what makes a sinner absolutely worth saving. It's God. It's not the sinner. That's just an advance of the things I'm going to be talking about in verse number 13, 14.
Verse 3 says, for that day it will not come unless the apostasy, the falling away, comes first, and the man of lawlessness, which is not a man, it's the spirit. It's a realm of rebellion that's in the house of God. And it is revealed, and you see that later. It's the son of perdition, the son of destruction, that spirit of iniquity that's in the house of God of the false prophet. He opposes, this is how you know him, that spirit of Antichrist. He exalts himself above God. Haven't you seen that happening here in Nigeria?
I don't care what the Bible says, touch not the
anointed. Isn't that the system? And the man of God has authority in the house of God to do as he pleases, no matter what the Bible says, and people are scared to death to rebuke him. Who is it? It is God. But a man who must tremble at the word or perish. Man is nothing. Any man, old man, that exalts himself in God's house is going to hell when they die. Don't go with it. That's how you understand their message. It points to self. It is rebellion against the Most High Maker of this universe, against the God of galaxies, against the God who created this world. In heaven and earth is underneath his feet. God, not man. That's the gospel. Any God and any man will always exalt himself. And he will make you worship him. And then the thing that happens, my brother and my sister, is you begin to worship yourself. Because you don't care what the scriptures say, you care what you feel. The experience I had, the vision I saw, what God told me in a dream, how many people have left their husband because God told you that you know him? How many men have left their wives? Did you hear the story of the lady evangelist who came to the pastor and said, my boyfriend told me he will not marry me unless I sleep with him? And the pastor said he heard from God and that she was to go do it. And after she got pregnant, and the man said, my mama said, I can't marry you. She heard from God through a false prophet. Because what the prophet said, contrary unto the Bible. I don't care if there's a jewel on your shoulder. If it's not fiction, it's true.
He's down.
And it's a blasphemy. You better stick to the word. I'm telling the truth, right, Pastor?
Yeah.
You better stick to the word of God. He opposes, verse 4, and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he sits in God's sanctuary, in the temple of God, publicizing that he himself is God. And the end result of this, brothers, is when me and you say, I'm the boss right here. Oh, I heard. And I had a dream. And it don't care what the Bible say. I know. How many people have told you that?
I know.
I'm in the U.S., everyone's smart. And they know so much that they challenge the word of God. I don't care what that says. I know. I know that God ain't like that.
Oh, yes, he is.
He better be exactly as he says. Or you're preaching a false prophet, God. People tell me, I know that God can't hate and punish homosexuality because he was born like that. We was all born in sin. In iniquity, our mother conceived us. I was a sinner from the time the egg hit the sperm. And I had to change and repent and be born again. I can't go to heaven my way.
Yeah.
Just because I was born like that. Surely God is love. When his love changes you, that's when it's got you. It don't lead you to sex. It redeems you. It pulls you out of the pit. He doesn't just pass by and stay your heel and leave you in your sickness. He gives you life from the dead. He stays there for everlasting soul.
Oh, yeah.
And he don't take it off. He makes it real in his life and heart. Because he lives and he's a holy God. So he's got to do the same in a holy way. Verse number 5 says, don't you remember? That when I was still with you, I told you about this. And do you know as to what currently Paul is writing 2,000 years ago, and he's talking about this man of sin, this spirit of Antichrist being held back in his day, meaning it's not an actual man, but it's a spirit. It's a religion without God, with the Bible in your hand. And he's restraining him so that he will be revealed in his time. People say the end times are going to be all peace and safety only for the enemies of God. It's going to be hot in God's house. Is it not hot now already? Verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity, the mystery of lawlessness, Paul says, is already at work. The devil is already here working mightily. Paul said 2,000 years ago, but the one that's now restrained, the one that's now in control of all things, the one that's now in control of Satan, what kind of God do you serve? If your God ain't in control of the devil, he's an item about this big that you can get. He's not worth nothing. The God of the Bible absolutely reigns. And the devil had to ask him permission to He's got no power except what God gives him to accomplish his grand purpose. Adam and Eve did not fall in sin because the eternal God is impotent and helpless. It's because the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world, and his original plan was coming to pass, that man would fall and I would redeem him. This is God. He reigns. And if he wasn't in control of the evil of this world, we'd all be dead or killing and raping each other. Totally depraved. It is God that holds my sin. Your sin and my sin. And it's God, though. You ever try to fight it yourself? To see iniquity in your heart, outrage at God, and realize it's only Him that can keep me down and make me humble. It's only God that can make me love people. That's the gospel. To give glory to Him. Who's on the throne alone all by himself? He's God.
He's worthy of worship and praise. No matter what happens to any of us, if the roof falls down and kills us, praise God. He's sitting on the throne of glory. And I acquiesce, Mama. I bow. Because He reigns. Yes. What you going to do about it? You going to bow down and give Him glory or perish from hell? That's what Job learned. I put my hand over my mouth and I won't complain ever again. It's God. Then take my children, take my money, and take my health. I'll repent in dust and ashes. I'll confess my sin to even challenge Him. To even think a thought against God is rebellion. I can't believe that you don't understand it. You got a right to challenge God. What kind of God you serving that you can challenge? You better confess your sin and bow down and get mercy and live forever in paradise. I was going to challenge God. Why did He make me like this? I love sin because it's in my nature. But God said, if you continue into that path, I'll damn you. But if you ask me for mercy, I'll bring you to heaven. I'll come to the court. I took the mercy.
Yeah.
That's from Romans 9, verse number 22, verse 23.
But it says in verse number 8, that then the lawless one shall be revealed. It's going to have its time. And the Lord Jesus will destroy him with the breath of his mouth. There is no tug of war there in between good and evil. That's where the eternal God is almost dead. No, it may look like that. He endured death. But he rose up from the grave because it was his plan A. That's the cross of Calvary. If the devil thought he had it, but Almighty God had him. He was putting away sin by the death of the cross. He was conquering. He wasn't losing. It was weakness in our eyes. It was in the weakness of submission. But he was triumphing through faith in God as a man. He was putting away sin because man had to die, because man sinned, and therefore God became a man. And conquered by the death of the cross. Brother Pastor, I shall thank God that always wins. Every step, every time. He's had no days off from winning. Our president back home is supposed to be a winner. I see him losing a little bit. But our God, he never lost one. He said, all the while against me, what shall come to me? And I won't cast him out, and I will not lose even one, except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. He didn't even fail to do this. As he told them, it has been better for you to have never been born, and that which you're going to do, do quickly. That's commanding power against your enemy when he comes at the gate. It ain't my enemy that's in charge of nothing. That's why I don't count on it. That's why I don't have to wait. That's why I don't need my enemy's permission to preach the gospel. I get the microphone and I take off. Because if God has been in charge of everything. And to God be the glory. Great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son. And the Lord Jesus will destroy him with the breath of his mouth that so easily, and bring him, the devil, the Antichrist, to nothing at his due time, and he will destroy him with the brightness of his coming. Now that's like saying power. He just won't show up and speak and convene sin. This ain't an arm wrestling. This is God's charge. It's the coming of the lawless one is based on Satan's working. Now please look here very carefully, with all kinds of signs and lying wonders, all kinds of false miracles. That's what we got here in Nigeria today. And that's why I came. I didn't come to Nigeria because all was well. I came to Nigeria because I could see from the USA, as I looked over yonder by the internet, I fought prophets like T.D. Jackson. Have you ever seen his miracle show? That's a charlatan. That's this trick of miracles that are other. That's a rabbit out of a hat. That's not the gospel. And when you do it for money, that's even worse. Have you ever seen one prophet in the Bible do anything for money? Have you ever seen one man of God in the scriptures, in the Bible, ever ask for any money for himself? The Apostle Paul asked for money for other people. He said, himself out of work. Just so I can be an example. Oh, but listen to me now. this is, you know, part of the problem. If we think that this guy up here is so important, that's been around for 2,000 years. I got grasped at my obstacle that shall fail any moment. What can I prophesy unto you? A sister, I don't know if you'll be alive in the morning. Amen. Who does? Pastor, who can prophesy anything and bring it to pass? I know that Peter could walk on water. Where are they now? I know that Paul could predict and it comes to pass. But the Bible says if any man makes a prophecy and it does not come to pass, what is to happen unto him? He's to be killed. So who's been prophesying unto you all this miracle money?
Miracle money?
It's going to fall down from heaven? Where is it? Am I in Nigeria? Are the streets not flooded? Is this not one of the poverty capitals in the world? Is the average age of death here not 53? If you want miracle money, take yourself to Sweden. They are atheists and agnostic, but they're not good jobs. If the prophets prophesied miracles and money were telling you the truth here, your street would be paved in gold by now. Because you got more of them than any place in the world. And that's why I came here. Because I cried. That they're exploiting you and taking your money, but they're taking your hope from God. They're putting it in the wrong place, in themselves. And they're misleading you, and you're dying in your sin. And I cried. I'm telling you. I beg God. Send me. They're scared to death to come here. People are afraid of Nigerians. But I'd rather die than not preach my truth. My heart is breaking wide open. Oh, because I care. And I see what's happening according to their lying prophets. And they're exploiting you. And this is the saddest thing I've ever seen in my life. The first time I came here, I was up at Unilab. And some people, some false prophets were speaking in tongues. And I told them, look, because the Bible says in Acts chapter 2 that when you speak in tongues, you're speaking in a language that nobody has taught you. Speaking that language instantly and miraculously. And you're speaking that language in a discernible way to the people who speak that language. There are 500 languages in Nigeria, I'm told. If you can tell, I'm on the internet all the time. I'll be doing my research. Every question I have. How many of you can you be in the book of Acts chapter 2, brother, when they spoke in tongues, it was not but the interpretation, God said, you give me your money and you'll be rich.
I mean, that's a scam. That's a hustler on hustler. That's rolling dice open. That's a husterlicious, as we say.
I can balance the gibberish and tell you to pay me and you'll get rich. All the while, as we say back home, my pockets are getting fat. It's a false prophet.
Nobody speaks in tongues as they did in the Bible. That gift is gone. You got the written word of God to live by and die by, and it will not change. There are no more. What can they do? I got you to.
It's on my phone. Show me one miracle. Anybody? Show me one crooked leg that's made straight. Show me one person that's been raised up from the dead.
If you see the man
in South Africa, it was on the internet about possibly what, 3 or 4 months ago, and he raised a man up. And it was a white dude in the back that was looking like this. It was his fault of the man that was in the casket. He had heard he had died. And then he came and he saw the resurrection. And he was looking like, that ain't no resurrection. He looked just like he did yesterday at work. And then they came out a few days later because of all of the pressure. It said, oh, it was a mistake. Is he was actually a liar. I don't know if it's true. I haven't actually researched it. But I'm told that God did kill that man. And he ain't been resurrected yet. That means I don't want to play with God. Thank God. I don't want to faith no more. I can preach the gospel. I can tell you what it says in this word, but I can't tell you anything new, and neither can anybody else. Who's been prophesying of your blessing? Who's been prophesying that this is your year? Who's been prophesying that this new month? Who's been prophesying that today is your day? And then you come back next year, next month, and the next day, and you pay the same false prophet to tell you the same thing, and things never change. Do you think that America has rich off the prosperity prophet?
America was already rich before they came. America got rich by hard work. The Puritan work ethic. And a man gets the message from the Bible by reading it and studying it day and night. And praying over it by the grace of God. He don't just take a verse to start preaching. He prays. He lives a whole, he concentrates himself by the grace of God. Peter said, I give myself continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. I got time for that. That's how it came. Our universities in the USA, Harvard, Yale, all were built to train preachers. That's how America got started. And the preachers went to school and learned. And I believe in schools, I believe in the church. But they train and learn under the ministry and preach the Bible. And people didn't just take them at a word. That they had to search and see like a Berean of what he's saying is so. You take me back to the Bible and see if I'm telling you the truth. You read Acts 2.
and see is speaking in tongues is not exactly as to what I told you. Don't be deceived by any false prophet.
On the little chips that orphans in a quiet room, they eat this up. Because people told them that they are witches and that they are cursed. So they cast them out and molest the girls and the boys. People take them in, they start orphanages. I heard about it in Wyoming, there is a free time for this. And I got into a lot of trouble of gold. It wasn't authorized. But you're not too old, Mama, to receive this message. You're not too old to be born again. Because I'll tell you this, and I'm going to move on. I used to be a false prophet. I didn't know it. I thought I was sincere, but I was wrong according to the Scripture. And you know what I did? I repented. You caught me red-handed. I was guilty. I'm like a woman, pagan, adultery. You caught me in the very act. But I'm going to trust you now. Yeah. And he forgave all my sin and put me in the ministry. And put me back, Pastor, after I failed. That's where my tears come from. I've been broken. I've been in the gutter of my own sin. And he rescued me. And he forgave me. And he used me. He put love in my heart. That's God. He's glorious. And when it gets attached in here, you'll die for him. You'll say anything he tells you at any time because you're God's prophet and you're not the, you are not the messenger of man. Our honor and glory goes unto God. That's the kind of prophets that we need in this world. That's the kind of prophets, brothers, that we need in Nigeria. Men who will say whatever God says at any time. Not one word more or less. Now from 2 Kings chapter 19, you can read about it. Verse 10, I have to get moving. I'm going to try to stay... But I will kind of say, since everyone else was late, I ought to get a little bit of extra time. That's a joke. But I hope it's true. Let's look at verse number 10. I don't see anybody laughing, but that's fine too. Verse number 10. And with every unrighteous deception among those who were perishing, they perished because they did not accept the love of the truth in order to be saved. Verse 11, for this reason, and here is the scary part of this scripture. It's the scary thing that's more scary than anything else in this Bible passage. What does your version say? My version says that God sends them a strong delusion so that they will believe a lie. So that all will be condemned, those who did not believe the truth but enjoyed or had pleasure in unrighteousness. Let me just take a minute here. If you look in your own time in the book of 2 Chronicles, I think it's chapter 19, and it's the last chapter of the book, 1 Kings, it's the same story. It's a prophet named Micaiah. And the king has called him because a true man of God, King Jehoshaphat, says he wants to hear from God before he goes out into the battle. And the prophet of Micaiah is told, make sure that you agree with everybody else. That's the prophesying good Micaiah said, whatever the Lord God tells me, I'm going to. That's the true prophet.
And so the king, this wicked king Ahab, he's going out in the battle of his own will. And he's trying to figure out, since Jehoshaphat asked, what is the will of the Lord? And all of the false prophets had their PowerPoint presentation. The horns, the calling the altar, and all of them said with one voice, that you go, king, and you're going to prevail. And so Micaiah comes in, he says, it'll be well. But the king knows that Micaiah has been telling him the truth, and so he asks, tell me the truth. And so Micaiah said, look, king, I saw the Lord, and he was on the throne, and he had all of the beings on his right and on his left. And he said, which one of you shall overthrow him? And he got it. And then he gets to talking about us and what their plans are. And then the Spirit comes and says, I got plans. I will be a lying voice in the mouth of his darkness. And I will entice him into battle, and he will be slain. And the Lord God Jehovah said, you shall prevail. Go. That's exactly what's happening here. When people don't want to hear the word of God because of the pleasure of sin, the pleasure of false religion. I remember one time I was early on. I wasn't even a Christian yet. I was a false prophet myself. But this other false prophet stood up and preached, and I knew it was a lie. And so I told the person afterwards, look what the Bible says about that verse. He twisted it. But the person said, but did you hear how we talk about our hearts? It just feels so good. I just feel good. The pleasure of a pleasure. And then I had to learn the true gospel to be able to point people unto Jesus Christ. Just because your religion feels good, don't yield to it if it's wrong. Because the true gospel feels great. It'll give you power to say. It'll make you holy even though you are constrained by nature. It will forgive you and cleanse you a thousand times. It'll make you scared. If you won't be scared of witches and curses, even better than saying, I cannot curse whom the Lord God has blessed. I've seen these people, they're blessed. I can't curse them. You scared of curse before. When God Almighty sits on the throne and he redeemed you by his blood from the curse of the law, it was his curse and he died to pay. Ain't nobody curse you if you're in Christ. Let them try. Let them hate you and then you go forgive them and keep on preaching this God. They cannot stop you. There's nothing they can do. If they kill you, they bring you into heaven on express. To live in Christ and to die even better. Why are we so scared of death if we are in Christ Jesus? How dare we tremble at death who's been defeated? I couldn't come here if I'm scared to die. You ain't scared to live. When that day has been come, and you can walk through that door in peace. My life is not mine, it's to him I give. That's the gospel inheritance of every believer. It's in your heart. You live for the first time in your life. That's walking the water. When all the storm was going, you keep going on the Jesus Christ, and He prevailed inside of you. That's power. Not just false stuff. The real stuff of Christianity is endurance with patience and power over sin. It's Him keeping you from perishing. It's Him renewing your heart. It's Him giving you the transforming power of Jesus Christ so that you are not what you were. Even though you are.
That's the gospel. It ain't millions of dollars. If the gospel was money, brother, I would never have left California. They got big money. Average house is $1 million. What am I doing here if I'm looking for money? I could go preach to millionaires. If I want money, but if the gospel is your everlasting soul, then it's of equal value to any man, white or black, anywhere in the world.
I'm coming. You're just as valuable to God as anybody. If you trust in Jesus Christ, your immortal soul is heaven or hell. That's worth coming for.
And forget all the Naira. He'll take care of me. And you who believe this gospel. He'll teach us how to work. He'll teach us how to be clever. He'll teach us how to pray to Him. I got this person that's a child of God that's having a hard time at work.
Go to your God. And He'll tell you what to do. He'll tell you how to prevail. Or He'll guide you well. Just go to Him. You can't come to me. I can only push you to Him. Or I'm an idol. But He'll talk to you in your heart and your prayer.
And He'll take care of His family. Because He promised. He's faithful. But He'll teach you how to work with your own hands. Not trying to leech off of somebody else.
But the reason that Hope Falk Proctor goes into the ministry, why?
Money.
I was in the quiet room preaching. It was about 50 people in the church. It was an organized meeting. It was 20 pastors, I tell you. 20 pastors because they can't find jobs. And they said, oh, I'll be a preacher. I'll make money off of it.
Miracle money is how it is. Blessing time, pay me time.
It is funny, but it's as sad as miserable hell. But if God shall send them strong illusion, verse number 13 is the encouragement. It's the change. But we must always thank God for you. How many out here can I say that about? I don't know yet. Maybe I'll meet you after the sermon. Brother, loved by the Lord, here's how I know you. It's because you know and agree with this. It's because God, from the beginning, God has chosen you for salvation.
What this means is that me and you, brother, are just like everybody. And I would be in hell for certain, but not children.
I mean, well, that's a good period of time. I got 15 minutes.
Less than me and you at all. Even 0.1%, we perish in our sin. Because but the devil is too strong for us. Our sin nature is too strong. I was reading my Bible, preaching against false preachers, and I did not even know I was wrong. It takes God. But when God intervenes, I see you first. It's because He chose you to begin. He doesn't pass you by. He causes you to cry out to Him from your heart. And then He hears you. He stops and says, bring her to me. She's precious unto me. Let her loose from the bondage of her sin and her corruption and unbelief and her blindness. Let her come to me in sincerity. Let her believe my gospel.
And you say, but God, I ain't got no faith. He did this to me through the preaching of the word.
It's a prophet named Ezekiel in the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 2. And the Almighty God told the prophet to stand up. And it says in chapter 2, as the word of the Lord and the spirit of the Lord put strength in him and put it on his teeth. So that when God tells you to repent and believe, you've got no choice from your heart. You want to. He's able to change your will and bring you to heaven because He came down from heaven to get you. He put your name in the Lamb's Book of Life from before the foundation of the world. And everybody whose name is not in that book, according to the Revelation chapter 13, shall be. The only reason my eyes are open is because of God. Not my free will. It's not anything about me. It's grace and mercy. But guess what? He opened your eyes at the start. He's going to keep your eyes open all the way. Look at that. He couldn't lose it. If you look at Brother Peter, as the Lord Jesus told him, are you going to go away? Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You got the word. It's inside me. I know you're real. I know you're telling the truth. I know the gospel is real. I know I'm a sinner. I know you forgive sins by the blood of the cross. I know that you're real with power. I know that you are God, and I worship you, and I believe you. I don't have any objection. When God gets to preach to His elect people, whom He chose, He disturbs. He doesn't let you rest in sin. You can't get it off your mind. I need Jesus Christ. I need to believe Him. I've been wrong my whole life, and I believe that now. You can't help yourself. Because you know the truth.
Some of you here know I'm telling the truth. It's inside your heart. You can't get it out. And the devil can't take it from you. You gotta have it. That's the gospel in power. Because God chose you.
I don't know who it is, but it's whoever believes Him.
That person is chosen by God Himself.
That's why I came. That's why He came to Africa to get you through my mouth. He knocked on my door and said, I want to see you there. I didn't care if I came to preach on the spot, and then nobody ever cared for me again. Amen. But He's the people of His choice. Chosen by God and had to get the message.
Because the scripture says, He has chosen you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and through belief in the truth as to whereby He called you by our gospel. He has to get you the gospel because that's how God saves sinners. Keep listening for that gospel. You'll keep on believing the gospel the rest of your life. The gospel is the difference between heaven and hell. It's the power of God on the salvation. It declares His righteousness to forgive sin through Christ's death. His righteousness to bless you is not in your naira. It's in the blood of the precious blood of Christ.
God, I have a right to be merciful to sinners for Christ, who died and who He raised up from the dead. And He put Him on the throne in glory to show us it has been accepted. The sacrifice is accepted. It's God who died.
Oh, He can give you the blessing. Therefore, brothers, so that you might attain of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sweating up a storm here. As I ask this person to make my garment, I don't know why she made it, but this material is too hot in Nigeria. I don't know how you made it.
And you got the fashion. That's the reason you can sit there with your jacket on.
So he says, therefore, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions you were taught. There ain't no new gospel, either by our message or by our letter. Don't change anything, Paul says. Do not update the gospel. Verse 16, verse 17. Here's our hope. May our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, as you and me hold steadfast unto the Scriptures and the Apostles' doctrine, and God our Father, who loved us with that special love that's from the beginning, that's not on everybody else who perishes, and has given us eternal encouragement and good hope by grace. That's my hope of perseverance. That's my hope of making it unto the finish line. Because I'm still a cold-hearted and cold-blooded sinner if He leaves me unto myself. I won't care about anybody else. And will go back on my mission after all He's done for me to redeem me from sin, if He leaves me, brother, unto myself. But God says that's something He will not do. Let's just look briefly in Isaiah chapter 46. I'll tell you this story. Bring it out here in the Scriptures and conclude. And so what I'm saying here in the last point is that our hope to understand, our hope to be encouraged, our hope to persevere, our hope to keep going, and to not get scared and quit, and to not get occupied by this world. Some live that their children are their very door in the heaven. If they used to come to church, they used to worship when they had that child, that baby became that type. Some men, that marriage that God blessed him, that woman, it became his custom, and the Scriptures became holiness. Some men start out as missionaries, and they miss home. Because we're still in love with the Spirit. What's going to keep me and you going? As a young believer, I had a friend that I loved. And me and him were like this. And then one day he told me, I don't believe. I was shocked. I was heartbroken. But most of all, my brother, I was scared. But me, what's going to happen to me if this man, whom I know was zealous, just like me, if his zeal has run out, what's going to happen to mine, especially when I know the wickedness of my own heart? Who's going to keep me persevering? Isaiah chapter 46. Verse number 3 through 4, is going to be God. As he said, listen to me, house of Jacob, all of the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been sustained from the womb and carried along since birth. He's saying, I chose you from the beginning. I will be the same until your old age. I'll never leave you or forsake you. Even when you leave me and you are cold as ice, I'll turn your heart heat up again. I'll come back unto you even when you forsake me and fail, and you will not forsake me utterly. I'll chastise you with stripes, but I'll never take away my love for you, because you're one for whom Christ died. And when I choose you, I say no take backs. I'll bear you up, Hashimu, even when you turn gray. And when you're old and decrepit physically, I'll keep you believing the gospel spiritually, just like I did from the beginning, because I birthed you. I gave you faith. I gave you a brand new heart. I'm your God from the beginning, even from everlasting. And salvation is of the Lord. It's not the strength of man. I have made you, and I will carry you all the way to the finish line, and I will bear you up, and I will save you. That's the gospel. Any gospel you can turn back from, it ain't God's gospel that's in your heart. If I can leave him, it's only because I've never known him. But if I trust him, he will never let me die. There are only two covenants. It's the covenant of one, where me and you have to be faithful. And we fail that. But there's a covenant of grace. It's a new covenant, where God says that he will be faithful. And he will put in you a brand new heart. And he will cause you to keep his commandments. And he will not depart. That covenant is all for us. It's election. It's God's faithfulness. That's it. That's the only hope we have. God. So as I say that, in conclusion, my time is up and my bonus time. Encourage your heart. May God and our Lord Jesus Christ, our Father, encourage your heart and strengthen you in every good word and work. And as we're going about end time evangelism, I feel like I'm the most blessed man on the earth. But I can get as cold as the ice. I can stay home, Pastor, and say, I ain't preaching today. I'm just going to put the cover over my head. But God is the one that revives. Is he taking the word? Is he putting you back into the scriptures? Is he convicting you? He speaks to you again. He promises your hope. He forgives you. And he sets you back out in the rest. To preach the gospel in these last days. To sinners who are totally deceived and blinded. But you got the gospel to call some of them out of it. And they will hear you because they will judge them